Welcome to the Mechanic Falls Vineyard Church Sermon of the Week. We hope you enjoy this message by Dick Ray. For more information about this podcast and other resources, please visit mechanicfallsvineyard.com.
I find it interesting with things that we should pay attention to, sometimes they try to make it obscure, like advertisements for drugs on television. You ever watch some of those things? You want to do something interesting. Next time there's some, you're watching television and they come up with a drug commercial, just close your eyes and listen. You know, oh, some side effects, it may cause, you know, a neurological damage, tendons will blow out, you will have pulmonary failure, kidney failure, demon possession, possibly death. And all the time they're saying that, they're showing kids running in fields and, you know, all these like nice things, so you're not really hearing what's going on. Some messages, it's like, we got to stop and listen to, but there's other warning labels that it's like, we belong to a culture now that is so afraid that people are going to get sued, they have to warn you against everything. Two Christmases ago, I brought home some of those big plastic sleds for all the grandkids. There was a label on it that was this big on it, fine print with all the warnings on how to use a sled. And you know one of the things it said? Do not use on hills. It's like, yeah, what is it? You know, do not stand on a sled. How many of you have stood on a sled before, right? Don't stand on sleds. I'm going to try it, right? How many of you stood on a sled, fell, and then stood on it again to try it again, right? We are okay. We don't need everybody protecting us from everything, right? There's so many warnings out there. And it's almost to the point where it's like, well, you didn't tell me I wasn't supposed to do this. You know, it's not my fault. You need to think for me. It's almost out there now. You need to think for me and warn me of everything. Some labels. I won't mention some of the brands, but there's a small tractor that has a sticker on it that says, danger, avoid death. I mean, I think that's a good thing that fit with any, you know, it doesn't have to be just tractors. Avoid death. A hairdryer, label on a hairdryer, it's on the cord. Do not use while sleeping. Oh, phew, I'm glad they told me about that. I mean, I really had to do this last night. I love this one. Iron-on t-shirt transfers, has a little sticker on it. It says, do not iron while wearing shirt. Hey, would you mind helping me? I'd like a nice decal, like right here, you know, shh. A bread pudding, a microwave bread pudding, it says, caution, product will be hot after heating. And then this one, and you hear this one, a sleep aid for insomnia, warning, may cause drowsiness. Well, I hope so. I just shelled out $12 for it, you know? Warning, may cause, you know, there's all these warnings out there. There's some that we should pay attention to, and others, there's so many warnings out there that sometimes in our culture, it's like, well, I really don't have to think for myself, have someone think all of this for me, to the point that even common sense sometimes goes out the window. And this morning, I want to take some time, though a number of times in church, we'll talk a message that tends to be very, very personal that leads to ministry. Last Sunday, we had this awesome ministry time. We have some Sundays where God is speaking some specific things for personal ministry. This morning, I want to talk about a concept that is more so dealing with the church, maybe as a larger picture of the church, somewhat hopefully to help us understand the times we live in. And the reason I want to talk about that is because of this pervasiveness in our culture where so much of thought is ruled by popular opinion. So much of thought is ruled by what the polls say. This concept of groupthink. Well, if everybody is thinking this, well, I really don't have to think for myself. Maybe I should think the same way. And I believe there are some really important issues that are facing this nation and actually facing this world that requires us to step beyond popular opinion, polls, groupthink, maybe some worldviews that we hold to that are really not biblical worldviews. godly worldviews. And I want to spend some time talking about that. And I want to do it mainly in light of a lot of things that are going on with racial tensions in our nation. It seems to be a story that continues where we find some egregious behaviors that are happening across the nation. Along the issue of immigration, we hear a lot about immigration within our media today, dealing with laws, dealing with borders, talking about different countries. It's an issue that's just very prevalent that is out there. And a lot of these issues that are being talked about, I think sometimes the church gets caught up in groupthink. The church gets caught up in the popular opinion, maybe polls, and sometimes we actually get taken away from thinking biblically, thinking the way God would have us think. And tomorrow, being a national holiday, celebrating the birth and the life of Martin Luther King. And in that whole time of celebrating, there's looking at Martin Luther King's life in context of things that are happening in the world today. And in that, I want to speak to a little bit. I'm going to tell you, I'm not going to be political. I don't want to get into the politics of different things. I want to try to speak to things from a biblical view. Hopefully God's view in that will be conveyed. Talking about Martin Luther King, he's known as a great civil rights leader. And can I tell you, I think that is a label that has been given to him that is accurate in some sense, but definitely not complete. It's a label that I believe is even a narrower label than who he really was. Martin Luther King, if you know anything about his life, had a label that was put before his name, and it was Reverend Martin Luther King. He was a pastor. He was a Christian. He held a Christian worldview. And when Martin Luther King spoke, I believe he spoke with a prophetic voice. And when I speak of a prophetic voice, if prophecy is really the heart of God being conveyed, it is God saying, "This is my preferred future." Martin Luther King spoke with a prophetic voice. Not only did he speak things that actually came true, came into being, prophecy that way, but he was speaking the heart of God and the will of God. Therefore, I think to label him as a great civil rights leader is actually to diminish his role. I think he had a much greater role, and it was the role found in the kingdom of God of speaking God's heart to this land. And if you get a chance, I would highly recommend to watch his I Have a Dream speech. It was given 55 years ago. He was on the steps of the Lincoln Memorial. Around 250,000 people came out, and it's been recorded, 17 minutes of a very profound man speaking the heart of God. And when he spoke it, actually, this was one of the parts out of his speech, just a verse to give you an understanding of this. At one point, he says, "No, we are not satisfied, and we will not be satisfied until justice rolls down like waters and righteousness like a mighty stream." He was quoting the prophet Amos. He was talking about God's heart for justice all over this earth. He did it with this prophetic voice. He quoted a prophet, but he had a heart of a prophet. And when he spoke, "I have a dream," I really believe he was speaking God's dream of biblical justice. So this morning, I want to talk a little bit about this concept of racial diversity, of ethnic diversity, and really hit upon this major point here. Racial and ethnic diversity is God's idea. It's not only God's idea, it's part of God's plan, it's part of God's design, it's part of God's delight. God chose to make every ethnic group and every racial group that is on this planet. He did not make a mistake. He did not say, "Well, I made these few who are my prime, and then I've got these others." It was part of God's wisdom, God's design. Matter of fact, if you turn with me to the book of Revelation, Revelation chapter 7, go to your app, go to a Bible. I'd love you to see this with your own eyes. John has an open revelation of heaven. And in chapter 7, it's recorded some of the things he's seeing, and it's a future event. It is at the culmination of all history when God finally gets his way. When all of history ends, it is the new heavens, it is the new earth. God finally fulfills his perfect design. And this is what it says, Revelation 7, verse 9. After this I looked, and there before me was a great multitude that no one could count, from every nation, tribe, people, and language, standing before the throne and in front of the Lamb. They were wearing white robes and were holding palm branches in their hands, and they cried out in a loud voice, "Salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb." You know, this passage here, as John is having this open revelation, he is seeing that diversity, racial diversity, ethnicity is actually celebrated in heaven. I don't know if you ever heard this before, but sometimes we use this term colorblind. Well, you know what? We really just need to be colorblind. We're not supposed to see people as black or white or this ethnic group or that ethnic. We're supposed to be colorblind. Can I tell you, I don't agree with that. I don't think we're supposed to be colorblind because God is not colorblind. God loves color. God made color. He delights in color. He cherishes color. He made every color. God is not colorblind. Heaven is not colorblind. It is not something we're supposed to say, hey, we're all the same. No, God created us different on purpose, and he wants us to celebrate it because he celebrates it himself in heaven. He goes through, and in his goodness and his wisdom and his design, it wasn't like he got this all wrong. This is his perfect will. And can I tell you, that's the worldview the church is to have. We're not to be swayed by a different worldview. Not be swayed by a different worldview, maybe a worldview we grew up with. Can I say not even a worldview, maybe according to our political party? The political party that we belong to, the political party that's in office, the political party, maybe the worldview that's even being spun on media, depending upon which media you listen to. No, there's God's worldview. He says, I created it all. I love it all. It's all mine. And as he does that, he sets this whole thing in motion. It's God's design. Acts chapter 2, if you wouldn't mind turning there. There's two scriptures, another second scripture I want to look at. We see God's design really coming into a little bit of fulfillment, part of his plan. In the book of Acts chapter 2, the church is being born, if you will. Jesus has gone to the cross. He's paid the penalty for your sins and mine, the sins of the world. He's been resurrected. He tells his disciples, stay in Jerusalem. The Holy Spirit's going to come upon you and fill you with power, and you're going to be my witnesses all over the world. And as they're gathered together in this upper room, it says they're together in prayer, and the Holy Spirit came upon them, filled them, his tongues of fire was appearing on their heads, and it says they started speaking different languages. Verse 5, chapter 2 says this, now they were staying in Jerusalem, God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. When they heard the sound, a crowd came together in bewilderment because each one heard them speaking in his own language. Utterly amazed, they asked, are not all these men who are speaking Galileans? Then how is it that each of us hears them in his own native language? Parthians, Medes, Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia, Pamphylia, Egypt, parts of Libya near Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and converts to Judaism, Cretans and Arabs, we hear them declaring the wonders of God in our own tongues. amazed and perplexed, they asked one another, what does this mean? Can I tell you, I think I know what it means. God loves them so much, he spoke to each one of them in their own language. He loved them so much, he said, I want you to hear this good news. He loved them so much, he gathered them from all over. I mean, it mentions Asia, Libya, Arabs, I mean, all over the area. They came of different colors. There were some who were not born Jewish. They were converted to be God-fearing all over. And they come at Pentecost to Jerusalem. And as they gather, God says, I got them right where I want them. My church is going to be born, and you know what I want it to? I want this church to fill the earth. And I love them so much, I'm going to speak to them all in their own language. Go back and just share this wherever they go. Here's this thing. See, again, heaven is not colorblind. God's kingdom is not colorblind. God is not colorblind. He calls us because of his wisdom and goodness to understand this is a blessing. The body of Christ is to be enriched. That's why we read in the book of Revelation, when it all finishes, it's just an incredible party. And can I tell you, for those of you who are Caucasian, we'll be in the minority. Thank you, Jesus. There's going to be such a celebration that's going on. And can I tell you, there are worldviews out there that are at one of each extreme, and we need a biblical worldview to navigate it. One extreme says, hey, there's us, the favored ones. We're obviously favored. We live in America. We have a lot of blessings. We have the skin color. We're doing well. And you know what? There's others like there. As long as they're similar to us, we can tolerate. But if someone's really different, we really extend an arm. There's racial prejudice all over the place. It's not hidden. It pops its head every once in a while. And there's one extreme that says, here's the camp. There's us, and then there's others. But then there's another camp, and I think this is a warning for this one too. There's another camp that comes over to this side and says, hey, every ethnic group, every culture, every worldview, we need to value them. We need to treat them with dignity. We need to honor them. Yes, treat with dignity, value, esteem them. But can I tell you, worldviews that are not aligned with God's worldviews are not ones we have to honor. God has... This is not about a political worldview. It's not about an American worldview. It's about God's worldview. We're all sinners. We're all sinners. We all need a Savior. And we all come into the kingdom the same way. And there is this part of that says, hey, honor and love everybody. That the greatest thing we could ever do for someone who lives in another country where there's oppression going on, where there's hardship, the greatest thing that could ever happen is for them to come to America, live the American dream, be prosperous, and have some wealth, and kids go to college. Can I tell you, that's not God's worldview. The best thing that could ever happen to them would be to encounter Jesus and find salvation. These other things, yes, they're important, but it's not the prime importance. And I think sometimes as the church, we're going, we definitely want to don't be in this camp. We don't want to carry prejudice and racial hatred and these little subtle undertones. That's not who we're called to be. But then again, what do? We just like, hey, you know, all good puppies go to heaven and everything's really great and it's your way, it's my way, it's any way. That's not Jesus' view. Matter of fact, it says this in the book of John. Going through when the whole gospel is being written, it starts out talking about Jesus, and it says this, a statement which some people can find offensive. He says, yet to all who received him, being Jesus, all who receive him, to those who believe in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision or a husband's will, but born of God. He says, to all who believe in him and receive him, we become children of God. There's a statement that's out there that I've used it in the past before, and it was theologically wrong. Well, we're all God's children. No, we're not. Not according to this. We're all God's creation. His desire and delight is that we all become his children. Can I tell you, when this whole concept of racial diversity sometimes gets caught up into politics and economics, and can I tell you, as the church, I think we need God's view in saying, God, you created all of this, but it's for the purpose of populating heaven with every tongue, tribe, language, people group. Value all people. Treat everybody with dignity. But the story doesn't stop there. The mission doesn't stop there. It's not just welcome in. Yes, yes, you're here. We're going to value. We're going to, you're on. No, the goal ought to be to know Jesus. That's the thing that changes everything. It's not just about living the American dream, is it? It's about finding Christ, finding an eternal hope. I remember a gentleman a number of years ago. He's moved away since, but I remember he was sitting off here. He grew up in Turkey. He was a devout Muslim through all his life, and he gave his life to Jesus. And I remember talking to him like, okay, how does this work? I mean, because we always talk about like, you know, how do we navigate this? How do we say, I don't know if your beliefs are right, mine are, who are we, right? So I wanted to hear from him. How did that work for you? And he said, you know what? I grew up knowing there was a God, but I never knew the love of God. I did all the things that I was supposed to do, trying to earn my way. And then I realized he loved me. It's changed my life. And actually, he was probably one of the ones who was the freest to share the gospel with people, because he knew what he got saved out of. Can I tell you, there's this whole understanding that God's plan really is one that is to populate heaven. In the book of Genesis, when Abraham is called by God, and in Genesis 12, God says this to Abraham, I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I'll curse. Interesting verse. But then he says this, and all peoples on earth will be blessed through you. It was a prophetic promise of God saying, Abraham, I'm going to call you, and from you, there's going to be a nation called the nation of Israel. Out of the nation of Israel will come the Savior, the Messiah, Jesus. And through him, all the peoples of the world will be blessed. That's the picture we see in the book of Revelation. All God's creation being brought together. The blessings that the greatest blessing anyone can ever receive is salvation. It changes everything. It changes their eternal destiny. Jesus' worldview, for God so loved the world, he gave his one and only son. This is his words. Whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. This is the plan of God. When Jesus with his disciples, what's he do at the very end? He says, you know what? I'm sending you. Now you go. And when he tells them to go and do what? Basically, it's like treat everybody with dignity. Value every person. Go to them. Welcome them. But then tell them about me. Tell them about me. How do we navigate between this? I think we have the biblical worldview and say, thank you, Jesus, for all these people, every color, every tribe, every tongue, every nation. And Lord, what is your heart's desire for them? Populate heaven with them. I read this morning, and actually I checked also with the first service. Michelle McClellan comes here. She's the assistant superintendent of schools in Auburn. A pretty high position that's there. In the Lewiston school system, 36 languages are spoken. 36 languages in that English is a second language, the whole programs. I asked Michelle, I says, how many in Auburn? She goes, we have about that many also. I heard it's much more even in the Portland school system. How many of you has God called to go to Somalia to share the gospel? Any of you? Huh, I wonder if you brought him here. Out of those 36 language groups, how many of us were called? I sometimes wonder, God says, well, I don't know, if you're not going to go to them, I'll send them to you. Maybe this is a place filled with opportunity to value people, to honor them, to treat them with dignity. But that's not the end of the story. We don't want them just to live the American dream. Wow, you have a nice big TV too. Good for you. Now you get a chance to really have the true and the fullest blessing, salvation that's found in Jesus. See, I think the church is to continue to be a prophetic voice. Would it be a prophetic voice? Would it be speaking of God's preferred future? To love and to honor all parts of his creation, not telling God you made a mistake. To understand oppression, devastation that happens in some countries. I mean, why are people coming here? They're trying to escape stuff, trying to get away. How do we navigate that? See, I'm not going to get political with this, but let's have a godly worldview. How do we navigate that one? We've got to pray for this country. We've got to pray for wisdom. We've got to pray for our own hearts. How do we do this? When you walk in Walmart, I may have a hard time sometimes pronouncing some of those name tags, but I'm gonna try. I want to honor. I want to welcome. I want this to be the most welcoming place for people to come, not because we have a great economic system, because maybe they'll encounter Jesus. Maybe some of them. I was talking to Maggie Mosier. She's just come back her second time over in Greece with all the refugees that are coming over from Turkey, coming out of Syria. She says she was in a refugee camp that was built for 2,000 people, and 7,000 were living there. She says, I had pregnant mothers with newborns, and we could just put up a little piece of plastic and they would lay down in the mud because it's raining and there's nothing else we could do. And there are people who are trying to escape. And she says, and the majority of them are Muslim, and she said they have Muslim translators. She goes, we have built such a rapport with ministering to them that now the Muslim translators are getting us and say, would you come pray for these people? Would you come pray for them? People are finding the love of God. They're finding Christ. Their lives are being transformed. She said, my prayer is that not that their greatest dream is to get to Germany and to live in a nice house and have some prosperity, but that they find Jesus and maybe someday go back to Syria and populate that place again, which was a vibrant place with Syrian Christians all over the place, that they would run home to Papa. They would run home to Papa, the one who created him. See, I think the church is to be a prophetic voice. We say, Lord, let it be on earth just as it is in heaven. Let it be on earth just as it is in heaven. There is a wisdom of God that he has for us. So some personal things for us to do. One, pray. Pray for this nation. Pray that we would break out of our worldviews that are not godly worldviews. Either the ones we grew up with, maybe with a prejudice one way or another. Pray that we wouldn't have a worldview that is according to our political party, but it would be a Jesus worldview. That we wouldn't be caught up in the winds of popular opinion and polls, and, well, I don't want to be here, and how do I do this? I don't want to be shamed into one thing or another. How do we love as Christ would have us love? So do some prayer. The second thing would be to maybe step out of our comfort zone, engage somebody who might look different, speak different, act different. Take a risk to do that. Lives will be enriched by doing it. A third thing is go watch Martin Luther King's speech. Go download it, 17 minutes of your time. Listen to the prophetic voice. There's something very, very powerful. And I think as he does that, there's this understanding that he had that Jesus really is Lord over every tongue, tribe, and nation. And his end game and his goal is that heaven would be populated with all those. Can we stand? I want to read something to us. How many of you know someone, a different ethnic culture, different? Yeah. You probably already do this. Treat them with dignity. Value them. But don't stop there. Share the love of Christ with them, just like someone shared it with us. I wasn't born Jewish. I'm not Jewish. I'm so glad it broke out of Jerusalem, aren't you? I'm so glad Pentecost happened and this good news spread all over the place. I'm glad with my roots, I'm glad it spread into Europe, to Ireland, Scotland, and got over here to my family and to this nation. I'm thrilled by that. I don't want to hold it back in. There's something of understanding the purpose and cause of Christ. Now I want to read a little bit of Martin Luther King's speech, and I'm not going to do it justice. I'm not even going to attempt. But I want you to hear the words. You hear the heart of God in this. And it was prophetic in two ways again. One, what he has spoken happened to some degree. It's not over yet. There's a lot more still to be done. Don't hear it as a civil rights leader. Hear it as a follower of Jesus. I say to you today, my friends, that in spite of the difficulties and frustrations of the moment, I still have a dream. It is a dream deeply rooted in the American dream. I have a dream that one day this nation will rise up and live out the true meaning of its creed, that we hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal. I have a dream that one day on the red hills of Georgia, the sons of former slaves and the sons of former slave owners will be able to sit down together at a table of brotherhood. I have a dream that one day even the state of Mississippi, a desert state sweltering with the heat of injustice and oppression, will be transformed into an oasis of freedom and justice. I have a dream that my four children will one day live in a nation where they will not be judged by the color of their skin, but by the content of their character. I have a dream today. And catch this part here. Catch this prophetic voice, the heart of God. When we let freedom ring, when we let it ring from every village and every hamlet, from every state and every city, we will be able to speed up that day when all of God's children, black men and white men, Jews and Gentiles, Protestants and Catholics, will be able to join hands and sing in the words of the old Negro spiritual, "Free at last, free at last. Thank God Almighty, we are free at last." Lord, we ask that you would use us as individuals and as the church to continue to be a prophetic voice. That, Lord, we don't want to get swept up into the extremes. One end where we build the walls around our, not only our country, but our hearts. Where we set up us versus them. Where we sit back and with a worldview and a prejudice that is so far outside your gospel, Lord, we don't want to be there. But Lord, we don't want to be in the other camp also, where it really just takes away the truth of your gospel, the truth of the need of a Savior. That, Lord, we'll be caught up with a worldview that, well, whatever goes, goes. That, Lord, instead, we would walk that tension. We would embrace you, Lord, your worldview, your plan, your heart, your design. Every tongue, tribe, and nation under the lordship of Jesus Christ. And Lord, we ask that you would make us a people who step beyond boundaries. That we reach out, that we love, we honor, we treat with dignity. But more importantly, we bring the love of Christ and we shine the love of Christ and we speak the words of Christ. Until heaven is populated with every tongue, tribe, nation and language to glorify you. And we thank you for your goodness, Lord, to us. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Let's go get those 36 voices, 36 languages. If anyone needs prayer, you're welcome to come up. Otherwise than that, go in the peace and the joy of the Lord Jesus Christ.